down!
Order.
That's David Carter, who, accompanied by the Prime Minister, John Key, was out in front of the House sharp at 20 to 12 on Wednesday morning to greet the Governor-General, Sir Gerry Mataparai. He had travelled across town from Government House to join the Speaker and his fellow MPs, including Mr Key and his ministers, at a state lunch to mark the end of his five-year term as the Queen's representative in New Zealand, carrying out her role as head of state, including calling Parliament together and signing into law bills passed in the House. Between them, the three men are at the apex of power in the country, the Governor-General representing the Crown, the Prime Minister, her Chief Executive, and the Speaker, the Master of the House of Representatives, including its forecourt, where this week he banned smoking. Then, returning slightly late from the state lunch with the Governor-General, Mr Carter showed that inside the House, he's the boss of everybody, including the Prime Minister, who got short shrift when he tried to put a patsy question to one of his own ministers.
The Labor said this is a crucial order, after order, a plea about...
Order. There is A, no ministerial responsibility, and secondly, it is a question that I perceive is designed to attack the opposition party, which is in breach of Speaker's rulings. No, I'm not interested in arguing about it. If it's another matter, I'll happily hear it. Point of order, Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I seek leave to table a press release then.
No, and I'm not prepared to put the leave. Further supplementary?
Outside the debating chamber, Mr Key's control of his own party caucus room was evident when the third and final reading of the Shop Trading Hours Amendment Bill got underway after question time on Thursday, ending years of inconclusive debate over whether shops should be able to open on Easter Sunday. Mr Key's government has decided to pass the parcel to local councils, as explained by the Minister for Workplace Relations and Safety, Michael Woodhouse.
Speaker, it's worth pointing out that when this bill is passed, not a single retail outlet that is presently prevented by law from opening on Easter Sunday will be able to do so in the future. Whether they will be able to in the future will depend on the choices their local communities will make. The bill provides that territorial authorities, in consultation with their communities, can determine whether to allow shop trading on Easter Sunday.
Mr Woodhouse sat down to this challenge from his Labor shadow, Ian Lees-Galloway.
I have a message to the National Party about this legislation. Get some guts.
Mr Lees-Galloway said the decision should be made by central government in Parliament.
Local government turned up at the select committee in droves and said to the government, make a decision about this. Some of them said that they were in favour of it. Some of them said that they were indifferent to it. But they all said, make this decision yourself. Do not pass this on to us. Do not pass this on to us, because it will force us with costs, and it forces councils to make a decision about a contentious issue, one that divides communities, that this national government does not have the guts to deal with itself.
The bill's third reading followed its committee stage last week. That ended in a personal vote, as is customary with issues in which individual beliefs may be strongly held, with 62 MPs filing through the ayes lobby, with the minority trying to shake loose a few votes from the other side on Thursday. Labour's MP for Mangere, Sir William Seo, tried to table a petition calling on national MPs to vote according to conscience, while his Labour colleague, Porter Williams, the MP for Christchurch East, appealed directly to MPs with Pacific ties across the chamber.
I feel distress for my Pacific brothers in the National Party because they are not able to vote according to their own conscience and their own choice. Now, they may deny that they are getting pressure from the Pacific community, but I know from what I have seen that they are getting pressure from the Pacific community. So I ask them, please examine the depth of your faith and not block vote with the National Party, but actually do what their conscience tells them, what their faith tells them, what their God tells them to do, and vote no.
And Carmel Cipollone, Labour's MP for Kelston, appealed to national MPs who had opposed Easter Sunday trading in the past.
So who are those MPs? We've got Bill English, who three times in the last 10 years has voted against similar bills. Gerry Brownlee, who two times in the last 10 years has voted against similar bills. Nick Smith, two times against. Chester Burrows, two times against. Chris Finlayson one time against, Alfred Ngaro against, Tim McIndoe against twice, and Sam Lutuwhenua against twice. And today, unfortunately, the National Government, even though they talk about choice, have taken the choice away from their MPs to exercise their conscience with respect to this issue, Mr Speaker.
After those appeals from Carmel Cipollone and others for National to withdraw the whips, their Tamaki MP, Simon O'Connor, looked around the chamber.
I noticed in second reading all Labor Party members as a group voted against this bill in second reading. All New Zealand First voted against this in second reading. All the Greens voted against this in second reading. And I find that a very strange irony. We're being attacked that all of us are making a decision, yet all the other parties seem to be voting as a bloc.
And that's how they voted at the end of the third reading, only the Māori Party's two co-leaders taking the option of a bob each way, Te Uaroa Flavel voting for the bill and Marama Fox against. From 62 to 59 on that shop trading hours amendment bill on Thursday, the previous evening brought the life of two members' bills to an end by an even finer margin of 61-60. The minimum wage contractor remuneration amendment bill in the name of Labour's David Parker, which had reached its committee stage with the support of the Māori Party and United Futures Peter Dunn, lost that vital one-vote majority when Mr Dunn switched sides at the last minute. It went down by 61 votes to 60, as did the Customs and Excise Prohibition of Imports Made by Slave Labour amendment bill in the name of Labour's Tamaki Makaurau MP Pini Henare. But a private bill repealing the Foundation of the Blind Act was given its third reading without dissent. The House also made progress on government bills sitting under extended hours on Wednesday morning, beginning at 9 a.m, although, as Rhys Lyon reports, members of the Health Select Committee had an even earlier start.
The first of around 1,800 oral submissions due to be made on former Labour MP Marion Street's petition calling for an inquiry into public attitudes towards euthanasia began at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, when the Health Committee heard from Matt Vickers, widower of Lucretia Seals, whose bid for the right to use medically assisted dying reached the High Court in 2015, before her death from a brain tumour later that year.
I want to be crystal clear that Lucretia valued her life very much. She did not want to die, much as she didn't want to be ill, and she didn't want to have the brain cancer that she had. But there were things she could change and things she couldn't. And she felt it was right for her to be able to choose the circumstances of her death, and that was something that she felt she had the power to challenge and possibly change. I want to impress upon you that assisted dying legislation is not a threat, but an opportunity.
Mr Vickers told MPs that the High Court judge who presided over his late wife's case had said it was a matter for Parliament, not the courts.
When the judge found that Lucretia's request was a reasonable and intellectually rigorous response to her circumstances, why is the law structured to deny her a choice about how she would die? Why do we prohibit assisted dying? Why do we accept that the laws, as they are, force people to suffer against their wishes?
Matt Vickers. Later, the committee heard a submission against medically assisted dying from the chairwoman of the Australian and New Zealand Society of Palliative Medicine, Amanda Landers, who rejected criticisms of the effectiveness of end-of-life care.
Palliative care is not a pill. It's not a medicine. It's not a treatment or an intervention. It's an approach. The evidence shows that people who engage in palliative care early not only live better, they live longer. That's what the truth is that needs to be told.
Ms Landers later faced questions from committee members, including Green MP Kevin Haig.
You indicated near the beginning of your submission that palliative care was, amongst other things, about choices. I haven't read in your submission or heard from you today any argument as to why the choice to end one's life and to have assistance in doing so should be denied.
I think the issue is that people don't know their choices properly. And that's the issue that worries me, that they are led to choosing something without having full knowledge of what their choices are.
Ms Landers said in her job, a lot of clients ask her about euthanasia.
When they say that to me, I say, no, you are so brave bringing that up. Why? Why do you want that? And we dig down And at the moment, we have to keep digging, because the choice is to keep digging. And almost everybody changes their mind, in my experience.
But the person who doesn't shouldn't have that option.
No, they shouldn't.
Australian and New Zealand Society of Palliative Medicine Chairwoman Amanda Landers speaking to the Health Committee's hearing of evidence on that petition on euthanasia on Wednesday. The next day, the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee heard submissions on a petition calling for a change to the road rules to allow cycling on the footpath by children under 14 years of age, as well as seniors over the age of 65. The committee heard from Children's Commission Senior Advisor Kathleen Logan, who said current laws around footpath cycling were out of date.
Remember that since this law was put in place a long time ago, society has become more car-centric and roads have become faster and more efficient and there are more cars on the roads, so it's made it more dangerous for young children to cycle on the road. 21% of the respondents to our survey said that the road is not safe for children.
Dr. Logan surveyed 176 school children across half a dozen schools in Auckland, Taranaki, Porirua and Wellington.
And of the respondents who had ridden a bike, 86% they had ridden on the footpath. And 71% of them said they didn't know it was illegal. So rightly or wrongly, the behaviour of most children in society is already to ride on the footpaths and they don't know that it's illegal.
Dr. Logan suggested that was as good a reason as any to change the law.
Yeah, the fact that so many children in our survey currently ride on the footpath without knowing they're breaking the law shows that the current law is ineffective, it's out of touch with mainstream behaviour. And we support your further consideration of this petition to allow children and other vulnerable road users to ride bikes on the footpath. And I just want to finish with a clear quote from a child. This is the reason we're here today. Let the government know that we should let the kids ride their bikes on the footpaths. Thank you.
Children's Commission Senior Advisor Kathleen Logan. And sticking with petitions, and also on Thursday, the Justice and Electoral Committee heard from Wudamu Demchik as he presented his petition signed by more than 2,000 people, calling on the government to reverse the convictions of people convicted of consensual homosexual acts prior to the passing of the Homosexual Law Reform Act 1986. The petition also calls for an apology for those convictions. To make a submission on that petition or other business before select committees, visit our website, parliamenttoday.co.nz, and click on Make Submission at the top of the page. In total, there were 17 committee meetings held during the week.
That report from Rhys Lyon. Back now to the start of the week and this motion from the Prime Minister, John Key, before question time on Tuesday.
Mr Speaker, I move that this House congratulates the members of our record-breaking Olympic team on their outstanding performance in Rio. Mr Speaker, these inspiring New Zealanders did their country and themselves incredibly proud. They showed there is no limit to what Kiwis can achieve when they set goals and work hard to attain them.
The Prime Minister's praise was echoed by the Leader of the Opposition, Andrew Little.
Mr Speaker, I rise to support the Prime Minister's motion and to extend our congratulations to our Olympic team, who have done a superb job. They've done us very proud, 18 medals, 4 gold, 9 silver and 5 bronze. The fourth highest number of medals per capita, and as the Prime Minister has just said, a demonstration that even a small country like ours, with hard work, grit and determination, anything is possible.
And not forgetting the inevitable boxing analogy.
Speaker, we often say it because it's true. New Zealand punches above its weight on the international stage, and it's something that Kiwis can and do take great pride in.
A look ahead now with the Leader of the House.
The Honourable Gerry Brownley.
Mr Speaker, when the House resumes on Tuesday the 7th of September, the Government will look to complete the second readings of the Māori Purposes Bill, the Buildings Pools Amendment Bill and the Statutes Amendment Bill, the first reading of the Enhancing Identity Verification and Border Processes Legislation Bill and a number of other bills on the order paper. Mr Speaker, next week is a recess where select committees may meet to progress their business.
Finally, we end the programme on a cheerful note with the Minister for Primary Industries.
The Honourable Nathan Guy.
Mr Speaker, spring has arrived. Yes. Lambs are being born, calves are being born. There's a spring in everyone's step. On this side of the house, we're in really good shape.
The Minister for Primary Industries, Nathan Guy, assuring the House in Wednesday's general debate that the country is in the very best of lambs. I'm Tom Fruin, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.